Welcome into the show. I'm your host, Soli, once more, and we're doing once again another music artist summary. And here on the show is from the podcast of the same name, Bubble Weed. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, my podcast is called It's Time to Rewind.
Yes. Time to Rewind. Yes. You've been pretty busy on Twitter. You've been making predictions about upcoming movies, games, and other epics. How did you get into the podcasting world before we continue?
My first site, which is still actually running, even though I don't post to it as often, is called Flights, Tights, and Movie Nights. And that's where I do written reviews of superhero movies. It started in 2012, and it's still going more or less. I did just post a review for Black Adam on there. But I think I've only posted like five reviews in 2022. And that got me into a blogging coalition called the Large Association of Movie Blogs, or the LAM. And they have a LAMcast, and on the LAMcast, they invite, you know, LAM members to come on and talk about whatever topic they have for the week. And I joined for the Dark Knight Rises. And then, you know, I think a year or so later, I started my first podcast, which was called Film Wise, where I would have a guest and they would have me watch one of their favorite movies that I'd never seen before. I usually went with, you know, a bunch of classics that I had never reviewed, like Jaws or Sunset Boulevard or The Godfather. And then in return, they would watch a superhero movie that they've never seen before. And the, you know, it's not always an even trade-off, because there's a lot of bad superhero movies out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always a fun conversation. And then the current podcast that I've been doing, which I'm just about to release episode 100, it's called It's Time to Rewind. And I started getting into this other group called the Movies by Minutes.
Yes, they are.
And awesome. Yeah, and what they do is they take a movie and they'll
pick a scene, do 1 minute.
they'll go through it and just talk about 1 minute of the movie per episode. So if it's a 100-minute movie, they'll have 100 episodes discussing each minute of that movie.
Regardless of if you're on that network or not, I recommend anyone do it, especially if they want to talk literally about one giant movie for just nonstop. It will save you way more time as opposed to going through all five seasons of a show and then, well, it's over since we've seen all the episodes. You know?
Yeah. And so I have like kind of a similar concept, but it's not quite the same. I don't cover movies 1 minute at a time, but I cover time loop movies and TV shows, and I break them down one loop at a time. So each episode is covering one loop of a time loop movie.
It literally is, yeah.
And so I started with Groundhog Day. I did a season on Twilight Zone. They had a couple time loop episodes.
Yes, they do.
In the Jordan Peele version, I covered both of those episodes, and I covered some classic episodes as well. And then I went on, I did Triangle and Time Crimes.
Nice.
And right now I'm covering the time loop episodes of Buffy and Angel.
Mm. And what made you kind of just get really into superhero and time travel movies?
I mean, excuse me. I've always liked them pretty well, like ever since they started coming out. I mean, I was the perfect age in 1989 whenever Michael Keaton's Batman came out. And it kind of just grew from there. And then in like the late 2000s, I started getting into the MMO City of Heroes. And gotcha. I was playing that for a few years. And then I wanted to do something kind of related to that, but not specifically about the game. And so I decided to go with superhero movies. And nice. that started, you know, Flights, Tights, and Movie Nights, and, you know, 500 movies later, it's still going.
Very nice. Very nice. So we are discussing at Music Band today. What made you pick Metric out of the whole pile?
Well, honestly, it was just like the first name that popped into my head of like somewhat recent bands. I suppose they're not really recent. They've been around, I guess, since 1998. But mainly, I think, you know, my favorite song that's from them, which the first time I heard it, I didn't even know it was them, but Black Sheep from Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So a list of their various hits are Help I'm Alive, Gold Guns and Girls, Combat Badly, The Black Sheep, like you just mentioned, Dead Disco, Sick Muse, Satellite Mind, Twilight Galaxy, Poster of a Girl, Grow Up and Blow Away, Hustle Rose, The Police and the Private, and Love is a Place. And so they are from Toronto, believe it or not, Ontario.
Yeah, which makes sense because that's where Scott Pilgrim versus the World was set. So made sense that they picked a local band.
They also worked on one of the Twilight movies. So yeah, small world. But yeah, Emily Haynes is the vocal, and she has been contrasted by AllMusic as kind of a Debbie Harry type. Just with those sharp synths, spiky guitars, and jerky tempos, and she had the disaffected voice. But yeah, I know a lot of their songs were just playing on all kinds of things. It was like on a big CSI New York episode, and then there was like all kinds of other just playing in commercials and just catchy. And they were noted as kind of starting off as a synth waves band. They had been with all other kinds of acts. The other members are, you know, Emily Haynes is the main vocalist, but the other members are James Shaw, Joel Scott Key, and Joshua Winstead. And yeah, they're listed as pop rock, and their style is basically new indie rock and new wave post-punk revival. And I think that's cool. Yeah, because they're more than just a indie band.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I kind of discovered them whenever I first started listening on, whenever I first made an account on Spotify, and I was just kind of,
I bet,
I was just making a list of like female led rock alternative bands, and like kind of starting with Meg Myers was basically my starting point.
I think I heard her. Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's, I mean, she did a cover. It's funny now because the first time I heard the song Running Up That Hill, I heard the Meg Myers cover. And that was like 3 or 4 years ago. And now the original is become popular again because it was on Stranger Things.
Really? Okay. Well, now I know.
I had Spotify, and then I would hear... And then as I would hear, as it would finish the playlist, it would, you know, have its own algorithm-based playlist with similar songs. And as I would hear songs that I liked, you know, I would click the, I would heart them. And I noticed, you know, more and more, I would see the name Metric come up on the songs that I hearted. And nice. So I started looking into them a little bit more, and yeah, I just, you know, all the songs that I've heard from them, I've just really absolutely loved. And then, very, of course, I especially after I heard Black Sheep, because that was the song that I recognized. And it's like, this doesn't sound like the movie version. And I do like both versions, but like the original, there's the original Metric version, and then the version that is in the movie Scott Pilgrim versus the World. They actually re-recorded that with Brie Larson, who plays Envy Adams in the movie, is actually doing the vocals in the movie version.
That makes sense. She was started off as a singer before she started acting and appearing in every other car commercial. yeah, so two big runs out of the gate. So nice. I there was a lot of music that was on so many different movie soundtracks, but unless it was kind of like someone who was like a big kind of like 80s or 90s guy, like Nine Inch Nails or Gary Numan, I wasn't really paying as much close attention, especially if it was like an after credits song. I'd hear the first, you know, minute and then kind of leave the theater. But it was a crazy time around those 2010s, just seeing kind of everyone slowly make use of the radio and other stations buying other ones, and record companies again being more stringent on what does or doesn't get played. But yeah, Spotify just kind of came in at the right time. Say what you will about them not really giving much you know, residuals for their artists, but you know, it's still pretty helpful at just making a customized playlist and, you know, people sharing stuff with each other. It's no different than, hey, let me borrow your record or your CDs, you know?
Yeah, I think they pay something along the lines of like 0.4 cents per stream.
Yeah. And but yeah, I think they got into the right time, because like they don't really set they I was kind of reminded of other ones like Churches and some of the other ones, but Guns and Girls, you know, that song got played the shit out of, still does on the radio occasion. And I think they pretty much, they don't really try to do the same kind of song in every way, and they are very energetic. And even though their songs are kind of serious, they're not like depressing or completely, you know, pitch dark, you know, cold soul, you know, it's not that kind of thing. It's
yeah, they're very upbeat, even though a lot of, you know, they do have like serious topics in the
lyrics. They're grim, but they're hip, kind of.
Yeah,
but they're not too hip to be square. They're kind of awesome. But no, this was a cool pick, and I was just like, yeah, I know I've heard them, but I don't know how much. I pull up a YouTube playlist, and I'm like, oh, I've definitely heard that, but I didn't know that was them also. And then, oh, I haven't heard this. This is awesome. Or this sounds like a live session. Whoever put this compilation together, I love it. And you know, music's getting even more expensive, so it kind of just makes sense how everyone's going the Spotify, YouTube way, just make their own custom playlist. I pretty much make a custom YouTube playlist every week. I just, regardless of whether I listen to it or not, I like to have it on there just in case I want to test out some speakers or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, they what do you think is next for them? They I saw that they have been on a tour, North American tour, since 2019. I don't know how much, you know, that's as update to date as they've been. I guess they can afford to take a break, because they've done some reasonable big gigs, but all I see now is that some of them have branched on, like they were part of some other bands before they formed that group, and then some of them ventured off into some side projects. So I think they're just going to keep staying busy. I wouldn't be surprised if they're asked to do a movie trailer or some other, you know, T-Mobile phone ad.
Yeah, they seem to me to be like a band that, you know, just like one of those mid-level bands that never really hit it big, but they're always working and they always have
reasonable amount of income. Not Jay-Z big, but it doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be, and definitely not a loser band who's just known for, you know, sampling or being a dick on TikTok. You know, it's not they're not that kind of group either. So yeah, kudos to them and their agent and their booking events. I'm sure you could even afford their concert if they came into town. It wouldn't be, you know, 40 plus where you're like, whoa, what the fuck? No way I'm paying $60 or $80 a seat. No.
$125.
Yeah. Hell no. You can keep that Van Halen sticks money. It's interesting. I'm just tickled that they compared her to Debbie Harry. I wasn't really getting that vibe, but it is kind of rare that you see a big female vocalist of a rock band nowadays. I mean, and most of them are often just kind of an electronic group like Curb, which was kind of big and semi cult fandom in the 90s and early 2000s. And then now you got bigger ones like The Pretty Reckless and Hellstorm. But again, those are kind of, again, just hard rock groups. Those aren't really electronic and punk rock.
Those were honestly exactly the two that I was thinking of whenever you started going that direction.
They're kind of more agreeable for that crowd, which is wild, because like for a while every other group was kind of just like a nu metal band or just someone else who was just kind of stilling the Disturbed or Pearl Jam scene. this one, and this is a fun group. This is a really lively one, and I'm glad you picked it.
Yeah, no problem. I think besides Black Sheep, I would say my favorite song of theirs is Help I'm Alive.
It's kind of just, it does get some reasonable airplay on occasion, and it just, yeah, it's kind of emotional, catchy, and grim, but also just kind of in your face, if that makes sense. Like, I can understand why it gets played on.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Honestly, I don't think I've ever heard any of their songs on any of the radio stations that
I've listened to. It's often morning hours on, like, it's one of those crowdfunded ones. Like, I have KXT here in Dallas, Texas, and that is part of the KERA, you know, PBS family. So, you know, they're going to take, you know, viewer supported, listener supported stuff that is big, that still gets some kind of loose play. Because again, yeah, like you say, these guys are not going to be in like the top 50 movies of the year, but they're still going to be in a reasonable mid-budget production, whether it's a commercial or a movie or a show. So it's interesting to see this kind of attention and where the loop is. But yeah, I mean, punk is kind of just always transformed. Half the time you don't really realize you're kind of like folk music, that you're listening to that, because all the genres have changed up so much. Like, rock isn't really what rock used to be anymore, and country is definitely more pop themed. So it's, and electronic again kind of took a hurting with dubstep, where everyone was just sampling each other. So yeah, I don't really know where punk even fits into the loop, other than that it's there on occasion, you know.
I feel like punk has always just been more about the attitude than the actual music.
Yeah, right. Even the lyrics, it's kind of just like how the person's just dressed and acts, you know, versus what they're actually saying. But yeah, no, I think this is a very cool group and extremely underrated.
Yeah, I would definitely call them underrated.
Altogether, it's wild that, like you say, they can kind of just go for the loop and without an update, and then surprise someone, and then boom, we're back.
Yeah.
That one way to make a living. I see an article on The Guardian that is from 2012 that they noted how they put angst on the agenda. How they were just like, they wanted to continue what they were doing, danceable punk rock, and they've already had like more than 5 albums, and was described as having being a nightmarish futuristic pop star, but really the band was about a nightmarish futuristic idea of everything. So
yeah, they looks like they have 8 studio albums.
And Emily Hines goes on to say, "We ran over train tracks and smoked a joint or whatever back in my day. Nowadays, kids are 15 or 16 and it's meth. I can't imagine growing up with the internet like they have. They've seen levels of porn I've still not seen." I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah. I have an almost 16-year-old daughter, and yeah, every once in a while something comes up, and she does shock me with the amount of knowledge that she has.
Yep. Everything is a click away. You can now find a scandal on anybody, and why they're fucked up or why you do or don't like them. Hines is then asked, you know, who would you rather be, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones? And she says, right on the dot, the Velvet Underground. So I think that goes back to your point. The band is an in-between group. It's not so indie that it'll never get any radio play. It's a local venue. And at the same time, it is not mainstream indie. It's just one of those just featured on occasions on every other Toronto production, every other Midwest.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they do get more play in Canada.
They probably do. And it's not to the point where, again, you're just going to be like, what the fuck is that? You know, one hit wonder. It's like, yeah, no, pretty reasonable airplay. Okay, well, this has been great. You got to even do a plug for your own show, so that's been cool. So the superhero podcast have really changed up a bit. Real Comic Heroes also does a good job, just kind of like, here's the evolution of these adaptations and how they vary and make said comic accessible to the masses. And now it's been even a more kind of unpredictable year, kind of I would call this the filler year. DC got a few out of the way, and then Marvel's saving the best for December.
Yeah, we've got Wakanda Forever coming out. It's just the end of this week.
Yeah, for 2022. This is been what it has been, but now 2023 is going to be more unpredictable, and especially in terms of even just the regular blockbusters that are coming out that are again kind of returned to 80s and 90s styled cinema, and just even more anticipated like shows that are returning for like their third or fifth season now, especially on Apple, Hulu, and Prime. So it's gonna be
it still kind of blows my mind that they're doing a third Venom and a Kraven the Hunter movie.
I actually did not know that. So that is Amy Pascal and Sony, man.
Yeah, I think they're supposed to, I believe both of them have dates for 2023.
We did a DC and Marvel ranking, and long story short, plenty of hot takes, but it'll be out there. Float your cape and learn how to fly, and best of luck on your podcast.
Thanks so much.
Anytime.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode, we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.